like a legend. Everybody sees him. So, all right. I'd like to call the July 23rd, 2019 minute meeting to order. Request a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very impressive.
Wait till I talk.
Okay. Roll call, Joel.
Okay, Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay. Looking for approval from the July 9th, 2019 regularly scheduled meeting.
For the minutes?
Yep.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. All right, Joel. Fiscal officer's report.
You file papers. You have the fund status report, the deposits since last meeting, and then the payment listing since last meeting. Payments, warrant numbers 17800 through 17865, totaling $13,850.19. Deposits made since last meeting. Totaling $39,838.54. And then fund status report. $588,568.35 in the pooled investments and $130,388.33 in the checking account.
I move for approval of receipts 104-2019 through 114-2019 and payment advice 17800 through 17865. As Joel had indicated, the total of the receipts, money received, is $39,838.54. The total of the payments going out on the payment advices is $13,850.19.
I second that.
Hey, roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried. The other thing I have is I submitted or made the adjustments from the 17-18 audit, and I haven't heard back from the audit company accepting it, the documentation showing that was done, but it was done before the deadline. And so I think everybody was on vacation, if I remember, or and one guy had a baby, and so it's done.
Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the time you put into that, Joel.
Joel, what's going on with the $10,000?
Well, I think we'll cover that in
okay. That's okay.
New business?
I think it's an old.
Old business? Old,
yeah, it's at number 4.
Just curious.
There.
You're spoiling the meeting, Dave.
Okay.
Anything else for Joel?
Nothing else.
All right. Chief.
Well, good evening. Just wanted to report we had a successful 75th anniversary get-together, and it was fun by all, and everything went really well. The weather cooperated with us. We had a nice breeze that kept things cool, but we had contingency plans there, and kids had a good time, and Smokey the Bear was there, and Smokey the Bear is also celebrating 75 years of service.
Oh, is that right?
This year in August. So, and we also had the mobile stroke unit. I was able to make a visit. So, anyways, it went very well. Prior to that, we supported the air show at Toledo Express, and we had some crews out there and working that. We ended up never having to transport anybody off, but it was extremely hot out there that weekend too as well. So, in the mobile hospital, we had seen like 15 people come in for wow. heat related mainly, and then on Sunday it was much cooler and it was only about 5. So, but it went well. It's a good experience for everyone to work in a large capacity of this nature, a large event of this nature. Today at my doorstep, I found this. Does anyone know how that may have got to my doorstep? Okay,
no.
I'm familiar with it in the sense that Cuyahoga County Office of Emergency Management had reached out to us and was asking for information on our capabilities in that. So for us, for Lake Erie Water Teams, we list in, we're showing as first in Lucas County, and then Jerusalem Township is the first one in there. The only other one in Lucas County is Toledo Fire Department Water Rescue. So it gives information that we had provided to them, but it was just, you know, something kind of nice. I just thought you might want to glance at that very quickly and see that we are listed here in Ohio for that. So it's not only our diving capability, but our boats and the water training that people have gone through. So we cover whether it be ice, water, rescue, any of those activities. The only other thing I had is I do have an applicant. This is an applicant that was on the fire department for a little period of time. And one thing that she had struggled with during our, when she was with us, is she didn't get her EMT. Well, she has taken that on and gotten her EMT. She's now a state certified EMT. She still holds her card as a firefighter, and she works for the Lucas County Sheriff's Department in the corrections. So, I wanted to pass that on for you, and I'd like to consider taking Samantha Newland back on the department. We can certainly use the help. We are at a current registry of 24 members on the department. So this brings a person back that's, again, that was the stumbling block for her, was not having her EMT, but she's passed it now and it's all completed. So which she paid for that herself. So that's one order of business, if you guys would consider it. Samantha Nula. Yeah, she wasn't ever on the run. She lives right over
there.
Yeah, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I'll just look at it quick. And that's cool.
She had also, when she left us, she had to leave us because when she took employment with the sheriff's department, they did not want her working with anybody else.
Okay.
At the time.
Exclusivity.
So she had resigned at that time, and she showed me the document that she had from her employer, the Lucas County Sheriff's Office. So, but now it's okay. I mean, now she's been there for a couple of years, and they allow her to have a dual employment with anybody else now.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
The other nice thing about this is she's a afternoon shift worker,
so she'd be available in the
morning. That would help out during the day.
Dang, that's good.
So So it could be a plus, for, or it will be a plus for us.
Okay.
It's really a plus. You paid for it. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
Okay. I move to hire Samantha Newland for the position of firefighter EMT, pending a background and physical. Make sure we get that in.
Oh, yeah.
We do
oh,
it
yeah.
all with
oh,
all
no,
of
we're
them.
We're going to do everything so, right. I'm only chuckling because, like I said, she works for the Sheriff's Department. So,
pending the background and physical. So,
yep.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And then the only other thing that I have is Madeline Rosler, who had applied with us, and she didn't complete her EMT, and I've talked to Madeline. I even sent her a letter and asked her to just to sign and acknowledge it, but I'm looking for your support to go ahead and remove her from the roles at this time, and when she sees fit, when she has time to maybe get the EMT and then apply back with us, that would work out best. So,
so she's resigning.
She is resigning. Yeah, okay. I asked her.
So,
and the only way I got it was a verbal. I provided a letter for her to sign and acknowledge it, and she had not acted on that. And so I saw her recently where she works, and I said, Madeline, I'm going to go to the trustees and recommend that we go ahead and let you go because, you know, you're not, and she hasn't showed up ever since, so.
Since she did, okay, I'm looking at how to phrase this because I'll accept the resignation and I want to do it, and I guess we could, I move to accept her resignation in good standing.
Yes.
Even though she wasn't officially on, I mean, she was on, but she didn't have her card, so.
Correct.
Yeah, so I move to accept Madeline Rossler's resignation in good standing. That way she may return in the future.
So, I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Other than that, everything's been going well. I mean, we're up and down, but we're well over 200 and some calls for the year so far, so that's a lot. We also had some, we extended mutual aid to Oregon on the Towers fire. So we had a engine, rescue engine was up there and a crew was assisting on that fire, and then Oregon assisted back with us with a medic unit for our 75th, and they backfilled our station, you know. So we were still in service, but it made it a lot easier. That's all I had. Everything's good.
I just wanted to commend you, Tony, on Saturday. That was really a nice showing there, and I went through the stroke truck, and I said, I hope I never have to use you, you know?
Yeah.
But it was quite interesting, you know? And I didn't know the area they covered. They go all the way to Huron, I believe,
yeah.
and maybe some people don't realize it, but they, if Huron's coming this way, they stop them, then they put them in the stroke truck, and they take them the rest of the way. I didn't realize all that, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, our fire station is actually a designation pickup for Carroll Township, so
okay.
They've done it three times now. I've seen them do an intercept, and they've met right here and transfer the patient to the mobile stroke unit because they can administer the TPA right away. So we're so fortunate to have it on this side of town now for us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay, Rec Department. Mike's not here. I did see they had the path start. I mean,
very nice.
Was it just to the school? Is that all they got done so far?
No,
was it down?
It's all done.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Other stretch, yeah.
Okay. I didn't walk over there during the 75th. I just saw the nice path mm-hmm. between the school and the park, so good.
He leveled the dirt on the mound back there, you know, back of the houses and everything, and so.
Good.
It's all done.
Good. I know Mike was worried. He stopped by and he was really worried about it when he came over and said, I don't know if it's going to get done. I said, well, you know, the guy said it'd be done, so if it's, you know, if it's not your fault if it's not done, you know. So, but good. So that was done. right, zoning.
All right, I have an update for July.
Thank you.
So three permits for an accessory building addition, which is next to you, Bo. Dunn's own the yours, Snow's, and then just that pole barn.
Oh.
He wanted to add on. He just stores things. Although he's got a, since he's commercial property, he's got to do commercial grade, and he doesn't want to do that. So he might try to approve, or said, I want to change the zoning, but I don't think we're going to change the zoning in the middle of a commercial area. So we'll see how that goes. Pool on Jerusalem Road, and then an accessory building at the Boothby House on North Curtis. That's where the new construction is down there, close to Monique Bay.
Not mine.
Yeah, his son. Land bank, we got the quick claim deed from the Beachview property, and if you remember the last time, I said the attorney fees were $193 for that, and we were going to look at what we charge. I kind of made up a procedure checklist. So there's six things I do. Which is, so I send the letter to the applicants, the adjoining property owners, and then I come and ask if they send it back. I ask for trustee approval at the next meeting. Then I have to collect the fees, because they don't send the fees in with it typically. So I usually have to make a phone call to do that. Then I have to send the conveyance application to the attorney. The attorney sends it back to us for you to sign and Joel as a notary, and then it has to go back to the attorney. So a lot of steps back and forth. So I made a recommendation of going up to $320. The attorney fees used to be like, I think, $125. So he went up quite a bit.
Yeah, it's $193. Okay. And you feel that the additional $127 takes into account all the time and labor and postage?
Well, there's six things I do. Okay. So I figure I put a $20, and that might be high, but by the time I take out of my time to do that.
Right.
So that could be up to you. So if you want to make a recommendation to change that, it could be lower. That's just a thought.
And what was the previous conveyance fee set at?
$125.
Okay.
Oh, wait,
okay.
No, I'm sorry, $250.
$250, okay.
And we thought we were making headway there at $250.
Yeah.
But yeah, costs have gone up quite a bit. So no, that certainly seems reasonable.
Basically the attorneys.
Yeah, since you've bumped that up.
Yeah.
Do you need a motion, Joel?
Yeah, I should, because I'm good on fees.
Okay. All right. I move that we increase the conveyance fee to $320 in order to cover the increased attorney fee costs and cover the costs that we incur in the zoning department.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
So I'm still working on the 810 Water Street property is ours, so I could actually have crossed that off. But I do have an application for 550 Waterway, which is on this map, it's the red square, in the middle of no man's land on Waterway. Adjoining property owner has applied to purchase that purchase offer of $250. The county lists that as $900.
Is that a buildable lot?
No. And it's in a wooded area. I was kind of surprised. I looked at a few lots either way, and they're all $900.
And the
it's a wooded area.
Is the prospective purchaser an adjacent property owner?
Okay. Yes, that's the only people I send letters to.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you said they offered how much?
$250.
Do you and everything else is valued at $900?
Yeah.
What do you think about countering at the $900?
I'm all about money, but the lot's good for nothing to anybody other than the property owner.
Yeah.
I mean, I
and we're paying taxes.
And we're paying taxes on it. So I maybe a little more, but I don't think we're going to get $900 for it.
No.
I you know.
What do you think is a reasonable counter? $500?
Well, if you use 500 and then there's going to be 320 in it, that's going to take them to $820 for that lot. I mean, you know.
For the conveyance fee, yeah.
I think just get on the tax rolls.
Okay.
You go with the.
You can try 400 or whatever, but, you know, I'd rather just see it on the tax rolls and get it over with. Whatever.
So you recommend accepting their offer?
You can counter a little bit more, but I think we ought to just get it over with. But you know, what do you guys think?
If you want to counter with an offer, I just, you know, I'm just thinking of what it's going to cost. I'm taking into account now it's going to cost them $320 for all the paperwork.
Yeah.
Now. So, you know, if we take the $250, they're still going to have $570 wrapped up in it. And the lot's worth $900, so
let's just let it go.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's let it go.
That's fine. Okay.
Okay. I know why I left 810 on there. Somebody actually made an offer for $100 conveyance application for that Water Street property. That's the property in front of Bono Walnut too. So,
and that's a big lot, right?
That is a really big lot, yeah. And we had talked about, I recommended turning that over to a realtor to try to sell it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, if you guys want to do that.
But it's a buildable lot.
It probably could be.
Well, I thought the last time we talked about it, we were going to, and you didn't have all the paperwork finalized, so we couldn't technically do anything with it at the time.
It is. We have the deed now.
So. Okay.
Township name.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, if it's a buildable lot, I guess it does make sense to invite a couple of realtors to tell you what they would propose to charge for that, and what they'd sell it for, and what they would charge.
I still got to talk to Kenny and. What was his name? So you want me to try and do that this week?
Bill Hoffer and sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Goodrich, yeah.
Yeah, Goodrich.
Yeah, get them both. If you're going to talk to them, just say we'll do them both and give us a price that way.
So I should turn down the $100 offer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty good deal.
Yeah. They actually lost
the
original.
What address was that?
Right there, water, 810.
Water was worth it. Okay.
All right, violations. I was on a rampage. So it's time to do the tall grass, noxious weeds. And we all know that it's rained a lot, but it's been dried up pretty good. So the procedure when I do this, we already put the notice in the paper. Put that in early in May, and so I've sent all those parcels that I gave you a letter to cut. Their deadline to cut, unless they call me, is what's listed at the top. There's three different sets, so you have October 1st, October 10th, October 15th. So what I'm looking for is a permission to cut for Kevin and Eric to go. After
their deadline passes.
Yeah. I sent out 28. And all I did was, I didn't get the whole township because it's pretty hard to do. Last year I went to different places. This year I just went down Brown and then went into Rachel, Van Dyke, Corduroy, and the Fountain. Because by the time I figure out in my head who I have to send a letter to, writing it down on my paper, because some of them are duplicate parcels, so that's why there's a whole lot. Like the Shepherd properties we've cut for 3 years now is 7 parcels.
This 965 North Curtis.
That's the house, the new house.
Behind Joe's gas station?
Yeah.
Okay. That was on my list for you. Okay.
And Joe's on there too. The leach field hasn't been cut.
So they get billed, and if they don't pay it, it goes on the tax rolls or just?
Correct.
Okay.
All that nice long process because Kevin has to keep track of time and then
right.
I have to get the assessment to Joel. And Joel
right. to Kevin, in. And Kevin, you have fixed rates already set up for cutting.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, it's $200 an hour.
How many of these, Linda, on here are vacant lots?
Most of them.
Most of them are vacant lots.
I bet the Brown Road lot is the only one where somebody's still living. And there might be some vacant houses, like the Dotson properties on there, off of Rialto. Rialto and Moore.
I don't see the Brown Road one. Am I missing it?
What about the house next door with the fireworks?
I didn't send them one.
What about who's the place there?
Somebody no, they're supposed to tear down.
Right.
They're supposed to tear down.
Crowd about that.
Well, that since Charlie brought that one up, that one's on my list. That one, we need to send them a violation on that one to get that grass.
The fireworks?
Yep. That needs to get a violation sent to them. It needs to get... They at least got to get the grass cut. We're talking across from Phantom. And I'm borderline speaking to my, I guess I'm going to speak on behalf of me, but I almost feel like these, I know the fire department was going to work on the one on Howard to train in that one, but I almost think that these houses should be boarded up until such time. I mean, that's just me. They should be secured. They should have these houses should be secured at least. I mean, I understand he's going to tear the house down, but it should be secure. Even that one, they can put wood on it, whatever, and just secure it.
Yeah. Do we have a timeline that we might get to the one on Howard?
Well, last I heard that we were expecting that to be done by the end of June, but
we had delays. I don't officially have the EPA permit, so until I have that.
What's the status of the EPA?
Well,
have we applied?
Signed it to. I had asked some of my officers to take care of it, and it didn't get done. So now I'm going to have to do it myself in order to get it done. So I'll work on it this week. I commit.
Can you give us a tentative target date?
I don't know. It's got to be. That'll be as soon as we get that permit. I'm willing to just burn it down. And it'll go down. We'll do a training and burn it down. It'll be gone. Providing the wind is correct and everything. I mean, that's everything else that has to do with it. So, you know, if we get a west wind where it's blocking Howard Road, then that's a problem. So,
right.
It just has to be the right wind.
Linda, what was the date of these, if they don't?
Oh, it's these dates.
You mean when?
Oh, oh right
the
there.
Date they
oh,
cut.
Okay.
August 15th.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I can send that to you too. So we need a motion for Kevin or Eric to cut.
I move to permit Kevin and Eric, or Kevin or Eric, to start mowing the noxious weeds, tall grass, per dated on Linda's report.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Then if you look under violations under the update, there's some other things like fence permit. I'm a little concerned about that property on North Curtis that, you know, had all the soil from Oregon, and he's now grading it. I don't see much of the swale on the side, which really concerns me. I mean, he was supposed to have that covered, so I did send him a letter. No signs, no sign permit. We had some blight and some animal issues. Mr. McMaster, his vehicles, it's really nice now on Aries. They have new pictures. I think I might have said that last time. They took new pictures in April and May. So we have current aerial pictures. So I can see what he's done since the last time we had him in violation. So a lot of new things have come up. Some other blights down on Toulon and vehicles. We did, Mrs. McNary had called David in regards to my violation. So we did make a visit over there, and I think, Bo, you met with the residents ahead of time. And she has since covered her overflow pipe with a sleeve. And she's working on getting rid of some of the blight along the line. But it's just been a wet year. There's, you really can't see a reason why it's wet, other than it's just been a wet year. And it doesn't seem to be your pond. And if you look at the one end of the pond and stand, it is higher. So the grade is higher towards the houses, which means it tips the opposite direction. Court cases, the Wilhelm property, you need to just go by because it's like night and day. It's awesome. All the boats are gone. There's just a small pile of wood left, two storage tanks, and a small trailer, and I think it's the trailer that they used to move the boats because it's kind of triangular and made out of pipe. So that's how I responded to the prosecutor. There is one boat left, and I said I don't care if the one boat stays. Because I think out of 60 plus boats. Go ahead.
First, I was going to ask. I drove down there to and inspected down there, and I don't know who owns the barn, but I believe there's a barn right there on Riceland. And I think there's some boats that were put in there. And if we're going to allow that, which is fine, but if we're going to allow them to be put in the barn, I think that they probably should have been allowed to be left on the lot, and maybe a fence around them in that aspect. Because that's what they did on the back of that barn. They put a fence there, I think, and there's some boats back there. Which I don't know if they bought them or where they're at, what the deal is with them. If they bought them, they bought them fair and square. But I guess if we're going to allow them there, they should have probably been allowed to stay on the lot that they were at with maybe a fence around it.
That was a recommendation.
Okay. Okay. I had noticed that the other day. It was all I had seen. So, I don't know what the status is of them. So,
That was a suggestion that I had.
Okay. And one other thing while I was down there, that fence right there on Riceland.
Oh, with the boats?
Yeah. Did we?
Yeah, I don't know how to,
That is right on the road. Like, did they pull a permit for that, or?
No. And that bothered me too when I drove by it, so.
Okay, because that's tight.
That road down there, though, it's all private.
It's all private. Everything's private.
It's all private roads back there. They maintain them, they plow them, they do everything.
Yeah,
I just noticed it. I drove through there. I'm like, man, this is really tight. This is right on the road. I, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next court date for Dean Trucking, as far as the two truck bodies that are left, is August 20th. I'm still talking with the prosecutor. She wanted to meet. I got an email last week, and they were 3 dates this week, and I haven't heard anything. So I'm still waiting to hear from them as far as what our next step is in regards to the operation of the trucking company. Ram Hotel, haven't gotten the next court date yet since they wanted them. It said City of Oregon on the paperwork, and so the attorney, so all the prosecutor did was say State of Ohio. It's the first time she had anything happen like that. Still looking at the resolution and the mitigation resolution, which we might talk about a little later. there is somebody installing a driveway on Bunny. So I contacted Doug Parrish today, but he was not in. They're making a second driveway, which, and they're not doing a crossover either. It's on the south side.
It's the old Edwards house, right?
Yeah.
And if they have permitted it through the county, it's no legal driveway.
Yeah. I told him that when I seen it starting, he needed to contact the county. Obviously, he didn't. He might have put a 6-inch in, but he put a black tile in, which just gets smashed anyhow. On Van Dyke, the Weiland site, they have an auction service. Well, I don't think they do anymore, but I did violate him. He would like to have a site visit, so I don't know if anybody wants to join me. I did talk to Mr. Stavartek about the Dollar General fence, and I'm going to go up there sometime tomorrow and talk to him. He seems to know where the survey locators are. Because he says the fence is 3 foot off the line, and it should be their responsibility to cut. And they tell me it's not their responsibility. So it's kind of hard to find out who.
And I think Mark wasn't in there when we were talking about that, and we just mentioned that, you know, this fence has been such a pain all the way around. And right. You know, Dave and I are just so frustrated with the fence, and Linda's frustrated with the fence, and possibly, you know, when she talks to Mr. Stavartek tomorrow about possibly would he be okay if they remove the fence, because it's not like there's trash blowing around. If they remove the fence, he wouldn't have to look at the fence that's falling down all the time. And then they would also be able to mow.
I assume they'd come in and they'd be able to level that.
And mow it.
Right.
Which might make him happier. I don't know.
That's a pretty good hill there, really.
Yeah, which does, yeah, it does have to be level.
It's an option that we said she could take to him and see what his thoughts are on it.
Yeah.
So, because he was the one that wanted it.
Yeah.
Originally.
That's the reason we put the fence to the plans.
That sounds like a reasonable option.
Yeah.
So you're gonna visit. You're gonna get to see the manager of Dollar General tomorrow.
No. Well, see, they're all done. They're all corporate, so this, I mean, I'll go in and see if I can talk, but I was going to meet with John, so,
oh, okay.
So we can look and figure out where the line is. When I went to Nashville, I drove right by Dollar General's corporate offices, and I'm like, I send things there. It's up on the hill.
Oh,
yeah. So I'll give you a report next meeting in regards to that. I think the next thing I need to look at is I need to look at the Stanton property on Howard and Corduroy. You get the aerial photos, and it's pretty bad from above.
The new Aries photos.
Yeah. So when he moved the boats off of the residential lots, because that's what we made him do, he owns the lots behind the commercial lots. But you can't keep anything on a residential lot. So we got him to move them off the residential lots, but then he just piled them all up front. But business is closed, they're not operating. But it's hard. It's hard to get rid of boats, I understand that.
What's the status of the state legislation? Is it passed the Senate yet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's passed.
Okay.
So, I mean, that would mean that I could tell him we're going to take him off the site. I will say that I heard that he has asked Lake Erie Tree to bush hog them. I said, don't you guys dare. But yeah, that would be interesting. They got a bush hog that came to an 18-inch tree. So that was one of the questions, if they could do that. I did call Mark from Anchor Point again, and all I do is get his voicemail. So I don't think he wants to talk to me. Maybe you can give me another number.
I'll try.
And I did get pictures. I went up on Migliore's property down the end of Little Fountain, and I'll get a violation letter out to him again. The son-in-law is in his house. I saw a light the other night on the open lights.
Oh, some of the cars may leave.
Yeah, they are all his. The blighted house, I did send out those demo packets on July 1st, and they had a August 1st return, so we should start seeing some, I'm hoping. That's all I have.
I did get a call on that from Mr. Belkoffer on the packet.
Yeah.
And you just wanted to clarify, because it was a 15-day, you had a stipulation there on how soon it had to come down.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, listen, he goes, I know there's no power going to that house, but the drop is still there. And he goes, we're not going to tear the house down. You know, we have to have the Edison come in. And I said, just make sure you specify that in your bid, that it would be 15 days from the date that they cut the drop from the house. So he goes, okay, as long as, you know, you understand that. And I said, that makes perfect sense, so.
Some people are having trouble getting them out to get those drops taken off.
Yeah.
So, I can understand.
So, and as he said, some of them you might wait a month to get it taken care of. So, I had rode back into Anchor Point the other day, and it's bad. I don't know how they're. I mean, I've seen better things in Southern Ohio, back in the hills, than what's at Anchor Point. So there are some major violations there that, you know, it's bad. Electrical, plumbing, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, it's structural. So
I'll call the health department. Where I was headed, is to call them and dialogue with them. I did talk with that lady once about a month ago. She seems very... She'll call me anytime, so we'll dialogue with her, and then I'll call the engineers, see what they have to share.
Anything else for Linda? All right, thank you, Linda. Maintenance department.
Couple quick items. Hopefully tomorrow we'll start on our chip seal for spray patching. Marked out a bunch today. I got a little bit more to mark out tomorrow. It'll be done by Lucas County Engineer. And we'll most probably have 3 days in that doing that. The actual chip seal program and the Bono Road, I've not heard anything on start dates on either one of them yet. And I believe our program, I think, was mid-August was the deadline, so we should be hearing something fairly quick, I would assume, on those. Other than that, we're just chopping weeds. All I got is you guys got something.
Oh, thank you, Kevin, for down there on Brown Road there in Upper Lentz. Martin Williston, you're right, yeah. I think Bo had calls, I had calls, yeah. And... it does look a lot better. I've been going that way once in a while.
Nothing else?
Nothing else.
All right. Linda, I did have one more for you. It was on my notes. Park Colony, because I don't see it on your list here, was Park Colony. Terry Reese House, you know where Terry lives?
That got cut today.
Oh, it did get cut today?
The bank came out and did.
Okay. There's a house there that nobody's living in, so. Okay, good. That was on my list of ones there. Is it 925? I think, right around there. I think it's 925 Park Colony.
Yeah, so. I think I saw it and I couldn't.
Yeah, okay. It was on my list. Okay. All right. Cemetery report. Anything on the cemetery?
Nope.
Nothing. No, okay. We're still waiting on the county to get back with us. Okay. All right. Hall rentals. I had three since the last meeting. We've got one pending. The guy wants to book, but we're waiting to connect with a for sure date. So, anything on roads, Dave?
Yeah, the biggest thing, we're going to meet with Mr. Panuski at 1 o'clock Thursday, and we talk about these roads and the water and everything else. So that could be a pretty good meeting. That's the main thing. So,
all right. Moving on to old business. Repairs to the hall.
She called me, Bo, and her daughter's on her deathbed, so that's all I know. And
okay.
So I says, don't worry about it. Whatever, you know, it's not a rush thing. So.
Yeah. Well, we just leave it on there to kind
just
of
leave it
keep
on there.
Up their update.
Yeah.
So okay. Water issues. Brown Road, which Kevin said they jetted the crossovers there, so that's going to help there. Elliston and Route 2, that's still up and down with the lake, you know. We did make some major headway in Bono with pumping down there, and I think you're pumping every, what, third day now, kind of, as it comes in slowly, but we've receded that water about 15 feet, so I'm thinking we're going to be getting close to wrapping up here and being done with that.
That's what I want you to do, Bo. We got to tell them guys that it's theirs.
Yep.
after this.
Yep, that's what I told them.
Yeah.
I said, listen, we'll get it. We think we can. We know what the problem is,
mm-hmm.
and we proved that we knew what the problem was, but somebody's going to
have a flapper gate on there now.
We put the flapper gate on.
Still going to have to pump.
Yeah, eventually the rainwater is just going to fill in there. So
make sure they understand that.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to pump it, and we're not going to do it. I mean, we did it to help them, you know, because it was so bad. So
I would say if we have a cutoff date, first September, no longer than that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
No longer than that.
Yeah, I was thinking mid-August, but yeah.
Not a bad idea, but I just,
somewhere in there to see.
Somewhere in there.
Because I think it's getting slower. Like, Kevin, we were pumping every day there, and now it's every third day.
Because if we keep doing it, they'll figure we'll keep doing it.
Yep, absolutely.
Because the guy, do you see the guy in Route 2? He's actually, I give him credit, he raised the catch basin, and he's actually trying to do something himself. I don't know if he's making any headway.
Grass, because they own that farm coming up there, and they put both of those boxes on top of the catch basin.
I saw Roger there.
Yep.
I thought it was maybe the guy of the house, too, helping the guy of the house out.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that water's just boiling up from there. There's no, you got to get it above the lake level.
The bad thing is everything that they're pumping, though,
It's, you're right, because Kevin. It's making a circle.
Out that Elliston Road basin or out the Elliston Road pipe. Until we can get the Route 2 pipe blocked off and figure out what our next move is to get rid of the water.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be so worried about that because it's a field, but it's surrounding them houses.
Several houses are surrounding,
you know, on three sides. You know,
well,
I mean, it's
the one house is they don't rent it anymore.
Oh, there's not.
The,
I mean,
the dryer house, the first one. But yeah, the other guy's got it bad too, though.
Yeah, so we'll move on to that one next. We got to come up with a game plan on that and see what happens. All right. Okay, road transfers. Obviously, we're gonna be talking to Mike on Thursday regarding that. Okay, Joel, here's your report on our penalty.
Well, the only update we had is we were contacted by, I think, the attorney assigned. From the Mock and Sturm firm.
Right.
She just summarized what we already knew and just asked some more detailed questions about prior fiscal officer's performance. She, since we couldn't prove that the documentation was actually sent to them, then the approach they're going to take is just poor performance on our part, or
the employee's part responsible at the time to see if that would work. Sounds like that's a pretty common avenue. There was two, you know, we sent it.
She believed that there's a reasonable chance of getting the penalties waived as a result.
I think she's starting that approach.
Okay.
She didn't ask for any documentation or anything, but I did talk about the prior two audits, and I said that there was an obvious change in performance, and that maybe that'll help you. So she didn't need much else. Just confirm his employment time, and, you know, so. That's really. I did receive a notice from them, the IRS, letting us know we owe them. So I forwarded that on to the attorney as soon as I got it. Said, please file this with your documentation, because they are representing us and have power of attorney, so they should be getting those notices. That's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Joel. I have this one on here. The 911 levy, or the 911 commit, the consolidation, which I don't think there's really much to report from the last meeting.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, Dave, isn't it September or thereabouts that they're supposed to convene that new?
Yeah, the board.
Board of five people. Okay.
I thought maybe one of us should maybe talk to Andy Glenn and see where he's coming from, or just. Have a chat.
Do you know? I don't know Andy. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him.
Would you be willing to reach out to him?
I'll try to do that.
All right, great. Thanks.
It'd just be nice to know.
Oh,
you know,
right, where he stands. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to jump around here a little quick because I know the big ones coming up here.
I wanted to add on that 911 thing. Did we send that resolution to whomever needed it? I know I sent it back to you guys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Somebody should.
That's right.
Notify some whoever gets that resolution. So,
Dave, do you recall who do we send that to?
Boy.
Otherwise, I can contact the gentleman that chairs the LCTA and find out.
Charlie, Charlie, yeah. I can't think of his name or last name.
I've got it in my contacts. Yeah, Joe, I'll follow up on it. Thank you.
Actually, I had that 911 on here twice, so I'm going to move on. All right. So jump around real quick, because I know we're all waiting for the core thing here. I know we haven't had headway with the title for the vehicle, so we'll leave that one on there. Belkoffer's offer. Dave is going to talk with him and Goodrich about the two properties. Just to give a quick update on the I added this in at the end. On the John F. Kennedy Park here. Thursday, where you guys started the core meeting with the core, I was actually with the superintendents and Mark Witt with the ODNR. They are really excited. The DNR kind of laid out like what the school's responsibilities are going to be. Like they're going to have what they're going to have to maintain. Like when they, you know, they want it mowed certain times a year, this. Plans are still being, you know, they haven't got anything final yet on anything, but they've already secured funding, according to Mark. They've already got funding, and they're talking like $75,000 for the school to invest into this thing. So it's up to $75,000. So that's kind of where we're at right now. They're thinking that they want to go the rest of this year with the planning stages, and then we're looking at next spring. And they've got Ducks Unlimited on board to create the signs. So, and if you've seen some of the signs that Ducks Unlimited does, they're really nice. I mean, they're very nice signs. So,
how soon do you and the school want to pull the press into it to start to do an initial article?
They're talking. According to Hale, Gregory, and Mark, they're looking more like towards the groundbreaking. Like they might do like a soft, like something, just a quick article, but they're talking. They want to see if when the groundbreaking happens, is if there's any of the Kennedy family left that can get there, that they can get to their distant relatives and people like that to be there for like a kind of like a rededication,
right.
Groundbreaking. They want to do that. So. They're really going to play off of the media on this. I mean, they're really, really excited. So,
you know, we got to find that sign. Whatever happened to that sign?
That's what I'm bringing it up. You guys never approved to have it recreated, it's out in the barn. We may have to reproduce the picture that was on there. If that's the same sign we want.
Well, that sign, we can put that sign back out there. The school is going to make another one for...
That sign's disgraceful to put back out there for what we had for it. It needs to be, it can be the similar sign or something, but we have to have it redone.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Do we have the picture, the original picture?
I think that came from Janice back when we got it. And I don't know if we got a picture of him in his uniform over there or not. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, we got the one on the wall with
so
the uniform.
We do have that, but it's not a big one, is it? Like a,
no.
So like an 8x10?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could have that. Blown up and transferred.
Right. Well, I thought the last I thought we talked about that, you were going to take it to the guy that was doing the trucks and get a price on it.
And I did. You know, where it's at anymore. That's
been
a long time. I can get
the
price.
Okay. Yeah, let's definitely get that done.
Okay.
So. Okay. Well, I think the one everybody's waiting for is the meeting with the Corps of Army Corps of Engineers regarding the dikes and the article in the Metro Press.
Right.
So I'll let you, since you got to sit down, you two got to sit down the whole meeting, I only got to sit down about half of it, so I'll let you guys kind of take off.
You want to go and I can fill in too? And
go ahead and start and I'll follow.
Okay. We had a meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers, the Metro Parks, and see who else we had. Our trustees, and we were trying to figure out what to do with the dikes at Ward's Canal and the Cooley Canal. And we, as you read probably in the paper, there are only half dikes down on the Wards towards Minky East, and there's an S curve there on the, that'd be west of Howard Road. That's real bad back there. It's probably half or less than a half there. And the Army Corps engineers just, we walked them a year ago, and that's all they how would you want to say that? They just checked to see what they look like. They can't do anything with them, I guess, put it that way. We did that so we could maybe budge the Metro Parks to do something. That's what I'm trying to do, get them to budge to take care of them, because they are their dikes. I know the engineer wants us to make a conservancy come around more up to the back here. And I know the conservancy doesn't want to do that, but somehow we might have to. But I do not believe that we should have a conservancy from Howard East, because the Metro Parks own them, and they should maintain that over there. And the one fellow says, well, you're not taking care of the dikes anyhow, the rest of them, so why should we worry about them? And I didn't really like that. I says, the reason we're here is because we were voted in to take care of the people of Jerusalem Township. That's why we're here. And he got in my face, and he really made me mad, but whatever. The one main thing we were talking about there at Howard Road, like if the dike breaks on Wards Canal, it'll come around by the mansion, and it'll just follow the dike, and then it'll hit Howard Road. It'll probably take Donovan, that whole area there, Bunning Road, and then she'll just head right on down Howard Road and flood Reno. So then another thing I'll mention, Tony, that's what we have to get to. The conservancy needs that, like that plan for Davis Bessie. We're going to need that real bad. So if you can get one of your officers to get that ready, because
I just found the original flood plan that that was the SOP for the department, and it's pretty vague or pretty limited. And but I also need my books back so I can.
Okay, I've got those for you.
Okay, yeah. So I'll grab my books tonight, yeah. And I'll be drafting up new SOPs. Part of it is just going to take from the Davis Bessie plans, because mm-hmm. the route verification, yeah. the notification, all of those procedures are the same. So we're not reinventing a wheel here, but the in the original SOP, and Charlie could probably remember it, probably verbatim, it listed like what boats we would use, where we would get different boats and stuff like that. So that was all part of the contingency plan. So, and if I can have just another moment of the other thing Kevin and I were talking about even today, is I would like to see us all come together with a plan to, we have sandbags that need to be filled. That's only part one. Part two is to then, Kevin was gonna look into maybe equipment that could help expedite that. And then the other part is the storage of these. I think we're at the point where we need to have a stored amount of sandbags ready to go.
Yeah.
I do also agree with Kevin on another point. We need to talk to our neighbors, Oregon, because they have a tendency to wanna come over and, you know, when they have an immediate need. And, you know, we've always been very generous and work back and forth. I'd rather, let's just maybe have a collective meeting with Oregon and say, all right, let's just do a big, large day of bagging and palleting and then preparing. And then where are we gonna store
them? Yeah, we don't really have a good place to store them anymore.
Well, I'll give you, I know you're gonna, she's gonna throw darts at me, but truly, the Connex boxes could facilitate that, because they are a dark storage, they're elevated off the ground, and all they have to do is the pallets can be placed in, and then you just start extracting a pallet at a time. Then using the forklift off the backhoe, putting them on the trailer, and then they could be distributed out. But I know that's not the best plan, but the wooden barn is the bags are not holding up, they're destroyed.
Yeah.
We were talking about that prior to the meeting. That was one of the things that I had on here, was anytime I've ever seen we needed sandbags, we were always sandbagging that day. And it's not a fault of the township or the fire department, because we do them, and you're exactly right. Oregon needs them. You know, we help our neighbors out. Mm-hmm. They take them. We don't get them replaced. But I do think that there needs to be, we got to have some type of plan. And I think we're lacking in a plan right now. And I'm saying, as far as we should have full sandbags, a number we need to come up with, full. I'm at the point of almost the hot blocks from Nissen's. I mean, if you need something to start plugging holes, should we have some of them on hand here that we can grab in a hurry, instead of running to Stadium Road and getting them and trying to strap them down and haul them back? Yeah, you know, I know people are going to come together in a time of a crisis, but should we almost have some of this stuff staged somewhere? Should we have hot blocks stored somewhere down the road in that area? Have the barn full of sandbags. And I know the wood barn is junk, so there's no point of storing bags in there, but
wherever we store sandbags has to be a locked area. Well, like with the barn next door, there's so many residents that knew they were there. Every time you turn around, there's a half a pallet gone. Nobody called, nobody asked, but they're gone.
Yeah.
And there were probably a dozen pallets that left that way. And I personally believe, yeah, it's great to help our neighbors, but with the situation we're in now and the chances of something happening, I think it's time we help ourselves. We bag our own, we keep our own. Our neighbors, if they'd like to help and bag some for themselves, that's fine. But we get way too generous with this, and then pretty soon it's our problem and we have nothing. And we've already wore out our resources loading all the bags for somebody else. So we need to decide, one, how many bags do we think we need to get started? Because that's only to get started.
Yeah.
We have a big issue. You're going to have to continually load. And that's just to get you started while you're loading new ones. So I think at the one time we had, I think it was 15 or 20 pallets loaded 4 foot high when the football team come out and help. And that was quite a few, but I think we need at least twice to three times that much in the dark area, because nothing will happen to the bags. As long as they're in the dark and it's dry, Doesn't matter if the sand's wet when you put them in, them bags will last forever in the dark.
Do you think 2,000 bags or more?
That would be two bundles of sandbags is all it would be.
I mean, I know that's not going to get, I know 2,000 is not, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but I know they're not a lot.
Biggest thing we got to do is find a place to put them.
Once
we make them, that's our biggest problem.
Could there be monies provided for that? Could that be, could funding come from a source for that building?
Tony can talk to EMA because they have been really halfway decent with us here. They've been replacing any sandbags that we use or we give to the city of Oregon. They buy them and restock us on them. Because technically every sandbag we got out there belongs to the Corps of Engineers. Even though that the EMA has been replacing, those all belong to the Corps. And at one time, I think we had like 200,000 sandbags. We had great big pallets of them next door in 4x8 foot crates. And the Corps has moved them around the state quite a bit since we had them. And now we might be down to 50,000 maybe, what we might have.
Empty bags.
Empty bags.
I think it's great. We can, you know, bring in the football team, do that again, you know, get up.
Well, I put out a couple calls last week and I haven't followed up on them. I'm looking for actually a sandbag machine that we can take a loader, dump into the bin. There's people at the bottom, you're just sliding them off and tying them. Because one, we can do 100 times more sandbags than we can with shovels or one truck with a. And I haven't heard back yet, but see if there's something that we can rent or lease or whatever to get some put together. That'd be the quickest way and I believe the more efficient way of doing
it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they make them where they, you put them on the bucket and then you, with the front end loader, and then when you come up, they cinch out, they snap off like, you know, and they're there full, so.
And the Oregon Fire Chief wouldn't have left so hastily, he was going to buy one up there, and we were going to use it. And that machine there, similar to what you're talking about, I think you told me it was like $15,000 for that machine.
So. Road fund. Taken out of the roads? Roads and bridges?
That declares an emergency. That's part of a fire fund issue.
Well, I definitely think that we have to have, we should be thinking ahead and getting this taken care of. I mean, this was something that, I was glad the chief brought it up because Mark and I were talking about it. We were sitting in there and I said, we got to have bags. We got to have them.
So, but, Chief, you said we have a basic plan. We can get that out, and
we can augment that. The SOP and the plan is what the fire department will do. That's what the plan consists of, is how the fire department reacts to a flood emergency.
And they're going
to
be talking about evacuations.
I mean, if it goes to a situation like this, you know, then the EMA will also extend, you know, some help and stuff like that, too, and everything else. But So we'll move in that direction. Kevin and I will get with EMA. Kevin and I will talk with them. We'll see what's available through those resources. I will reach out to Oregon Fire Chief and talk with them and let them know that, you know, our township is moving in a direction to be proactive in this. And then we can also present some other costs and issues and stuff like that. Cause, you know, that's all. So. We should have something back for the next meeting. I mean, my goal will be, and I know the Conservancy needs that paperwork, I will have that before August 1st.
Okay.
Is your meeting August 5th or something? Right. Don't you have to have something?
Yeah, as soon as possible.
Okay.
When's your next meeting?
September.
Yeah, the Corps is coming in the 22nd, aren't they?
August 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, I was dreaming when you was talking about the bag filler, you know, me. There's a lot of these feed mills that, you know, they used to bag the feed, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're all shut down. There's none of them running anymore. One of those would be pretty slick. You could put it in with the back hole and You know, that wouldn't cost us a whole lot.
The only thing, I have looked at those and I've talked to people that have used them.
Uh-huh.
You would, just in case your sand's a little wet.
Oh, it wouldn't be, you know.
You'd have to put like bed vibrators on it, which mm-hmm. operate off 12 volt. Then that way you could constantly keep the sand moving if it would stop. But that's another option too.
Yeah, just something simple.
Keep an eye out.
We could build one.
One or two on your way back to Port Delmore. See if
There's probably some sitting right over here in Curtis at the elevator. They don't do feet anymore.
Yeah, the grinder broke, and they haven't done it for years.
Oh, yeah. Nobody does anymore. It's all hauled in.
I know, David, you've walked that dike, and, you know, I hear the talk of the sandbags. How would they be able to be transported to where they'd be needed? It's virtually impossible.
You're probably right.
Sandbags are meant more for the residents, or if there was, let's say, Standard Road. It went down Standard Road over there. That's one of the big dike areas that runs right along the road. Mm-hmm. If you noticed a hole starting in that, you could feasibly load up 2-3 loads of sandbags, chuck to slow down the hole till you got equipment there to put in big rock or packed clay or something like that.
Because a lot of the areas, especially deep into the coulee, right here up, it's not even accessible. So the fact to get them there and
least we have to try, Jim.
Right,
we got something, you know. But you're right. You're right too.
Knowing where the weak spots are at,
yeah,
it's really not feasible to shore them up.
It's true. Very true.
And as far as sandbags are for the residents, anything on this level, I checked the lake level today. Today it's at 574. Them houses are 5, 6, 7 feet. Boy, you'd have to have sandbags up to the roof.
Yeah.
You know, so then the reality when we're talking about these situations, the height of the lake right now with flood level being at 578, that house is going to be 8-9 feet underwater. Right?
And it won't take long if it
hurts. Unless you're up on a dike. You know, the houses on the dikes are much higher and protected. But so the feasibility of how many sandbags would you need per house?
Yeah.
Well, like Dave said, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to have something. You know, not necessarily is it just for this dike break, you know, it's, you know, we had, 2015, we were out there filling sandbags when it flooded, when we had the heavy rains, and we should have it, this is kind of prompting us, you know, and Kevin's right, you know, you might be able to chuck a hole full with them and keep it maintained till we get some equipment there is kind of what we're, you know, where I'm looking at, you know, something to slow it down, if at all possible. Is slow it down.
Yeah. So. We may have to have, I mean, I could see the conversation having with the, for instance, the EMA. If we had a dike break and we know that we are seeing potential flooding going into a large area, you know, a massive notification. So whether it be radio, TV, even the sirens going off to get everyone to listen and alert to the EMA directions and orders. But then it's going to be immediate evacuations of those areas, you know, is another phase, as well as that's a phase of that activity. But then it's a reaction phase of which contractors are available to help out to maybe bring equipment and do something right away. So there could be another conversation with that being a component of the contingency plan, just like you're saying. Yeah, it may be pretty inaccessible. I mean, we did see the witness, or we all witnessed and probably saw the massive dike breaks that were in Louisiana. And they were, the military came in, was dropping super sacks and diking up the dikes at that time. I'm not saying we're going to get that. I'm just saying those are all thoughts of, you know.
Wouldn't the Coast Guard do that? Yeah.
Yeah. Could that happen? Would that happen? I, you know, I'm not sure. You know, that could be it. Could be another segment of a conversation of, mm-hmm. you know, if we had a major dike break, you know, and then how many pumps are available, you know, from contractors, stuff like that. I know Oregon, when they were experiencing one of the last flooding they had on the Bay Shore, they had rented a huge cat pump. So it was probably a, you know, 5,000-6,000 gallon minute pump you know, just trying to keep their area clear. But they have a similar problem. They don't have a lot of dike areas to protect them mm-hmm. either. Anyways, I just take a note. I'll just say one last thing is, if we want to get together at some other time and just have a brainstorm meeting, yeah. just to start brainstorming all of these things, you know, we've got some of it right now and we can act mm-hmm. on it, but, you know.
Yeah, I think our next steps are to get a detailed inventory of exactly where are these problem areas. And we need to identify that, okay, which of the problem areas that were identified by the Army Corps of Engineers, which ones are within the conservancy area and which ones are outside of the conservancy area. And then we have to have those very carefully documented. And then we need to start to figure out, okay, how are we going to address it? What are we going to do to prevent any further weakening in those areas? What can we do very rapidly here in the next month or two to strengthen those areas?
And there's another thought of, you know, if some of those areas are potentially becoming inaccessible, depending on weather, but drones can be used, too, to give a monitoring. I know that don't you have someone in Allen Clay that is a – and Oregon – police and fire both have drones, too.
The county has one. Tony and I was going to bring that up. Maybe
so that when
this fall, when the wind comes up, we're going to have them come out here and maybe fly them every mm-hmm. day. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Because we can't walk them all. You can't keep up. Yeah.
And, again, I will also discuss that with EMA and see what that team, you know, just – sharing how serious we perceive this to be. I think it's Kevin and I were talking, and this fall is where we're going to really where we're really going to get hammered.
The gales in November.
Yeah.
You're working on two sections here. You're working on an immediate fix now to shore it up, and then we're looking at where are we going to get funding? What are we going to do
long term
to prevent this from happening? You know,
right.
So, and whose responsibility, and, you know.
Right now, the worst ones are they're the metro parks. That's where and they won't take control of it. I really think we got to talk to them, and again, and try and put a dike at Howard Road right there, that bridge right there. Get that in there, because that's where some of the worst is down on Ward's Canal, past the east of the mansion.
And just connect those together.
Yeah, connect that together. That would stop quite a breach there.
Yeah.
And the other one, I don't know what we'll do with that S back there. That's Metro Parks again, you know. And they won't get that done for another year or so. So I don't know.
So, yeah, we'll be doing some brainstorming with that. Okay, great.
I guess you can. No. That it?
Yeah. Any questions?
Ask them any questions quick, yeah.
My name's Karen Wilhelm, W-I-L-H-E-L-M. I'm curious to know what tanks on our property your zoning inspector is finding. I don't know if it's on the top lot, the bottom lot. We gave away 100 boats because we were not allowed to put a fence at that intersection. And it also states in the zoning book that you cannot hide blight behind a fence. Someone would get killed riding the golf carts and the dirt bikes and everything up and down there that they do. Someone would get hurt there.
Two storage tanks.
Yeah, you can't hide blight with the fence. We gave away all the boats. The only way we were allowed to keep any boats is if they were licensed, safety inspected, and deemed seaworthy by the ODNR, which they do not do. So all the boats were given away. It's pretty hard to open a boat rental without rental boats.
Do you know what tanks she's talking? I mean, do you know where the tanks?
They're sitting on the bottom lot.
Those are an adjacent property owner's property. Those are not ours. And I believe there's a snowplow down there as well that is not ours. Okay. Along with a bunch of barrels that are not ours.
Okay. Anything else? I didn't have anything for new business, did you guys?
No.
I knew the core was a big one.
And any questions or comments from anyone about the dike?
Yes, sir.
Issue?
Nope, not about the dikes. Howard Walters. A score 19 years ago, a man was buried in Oakwood Cemetery. 2 years later, his wife was buried. They had no children. He was born in Jerusalem Township, raised in Jerusalem Township, and when the call came, he answered the call to become one of the part of the greatest generation, according to Tom Brokaw. But who would know? There is no marker, there is no placard, no stanchion, not an American flag placed on his grave. I became aware of this situation approximately 3 years ago, and I made a phone call to this trustee's office. I spoke with the gentleman who claimed to be in charge of the cemeteries, and he stated that he would look into the matter. However, after another phone call a month or two later, I made a return phone call, and he was still looking into the matter. I am asking tonight, what must I do to get a placard or a stanchion and an American flag placed on his grave?
Do you, I suspect that the trustee that you spoke with was probably Joe Kiss. That was a couple of years ago, and he unfortunately has since passed away.
You are correct.
I would like to help. Do you have the grave site number and any information I can use with Kevin to locate the exact?
He is in the northeast corner, and the name is Roy Heber, H-I-E-B-E-R.
You're simply talking about one right now, okay?
You are correct.
Okay.
All I gave you that information was for to say that there is no other immediate family member available to seek that.
The only thing that we can do is put up a flag stanchion that says U.S. veteran on it. Flags are placed by the VFW, but if somebody's missed, usually they'll leave us extra flags because some reason family members pull them out, take them home because they don't want them out for the winter, and they'll bring them back. But in order for him to have a plaque, it would have to go through the Veterans Administration, and they would look him up, and as long as he was never issued a plaque, they would issue him a plaque to be put out there, which the plaque would have to come to either a monument company or come to the township. We do not mount the bronze plaques, but a monument company could. I've dealt with several families here the last couple of years, and that's what's happened. There's paperwork that they get and fill out, and you evidently have known the family, or did you just come across it? Or?
I am a relative.
Okay. You would be able to file all the paperwork, which then they would have you give to me as being the director of the cemetery now. And there's a portion of it that I fill out for the township. And you don't see why they would not issue that plaque. And they do it pretty commonly now for the veterans. You would have to most probably start out with the Lucas County Veterans Administration, or even go to one of the VFWs, and they can walk you through all that. The only thing I ever do is it's like a one-inch section at the bottom of the paperwork that I fill out, and you can most probably get a plaque for it. And if it's okay with the trustees, we would just donate the footer for it to go on, because it mounts on a concrete footer. I think that would be the least we can do for that. If you're willing to go through those steps, and I'll give you my card after the meeting.
Sure.
We'll go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin, do we have the stanchions here? You have extra
ones?
Yeah,
I got flag holders and stuff.
Okay, so we can get one put up tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll look up and see where it's at, okay. And what section, what grade.
Do we have any flags?
Most probably still got.
Okay. There will be a stanchion and a flag on that grave tomorrow. Mark my word.
Thank you.
And we'll Kevin will get you the paperwork, or put you in the right direction of where you need to go to get that taken care of. So, we actually had one lady earlier this year call, and her brother, and there was always a stanchion on his grave, and it was missing. So we took care of that one right away. So, you know, they come up missing, but definitely. Kevin, we'll get that taken care of tomorrow.
Appreciate that. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Nothing? Looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Fingers are in. Fingers are in. Fingers are in.